Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome on this beautiful Sabbath day. Certainly more comfortable than last week for those that have been here in the Northwest. I see we have a few visitors. Welcome. Glad to see everyone here today. Certainly great to have two Sabbaths back to back. Always special to come before God. What an incredible blessing it is to have God's Holy Spirit and to understand His plan for all of humanity. You have to ask yourself, do we really grasp what an incredible thing it is to have God's Spirit, to have that blessing? But having God's Spirit is really only one portion of what we need in our spiritual lives. God gives us a small amount of His power, but we need to take that and to put it to use. We can't just let it sit around, hidden. We can't let it keep it guarded. It's alive. It needs us to be alive and active, constantly using it, constantly upgrading it. We live in a time when so many incredible things happen every single day. We see the news, or we hear the news now very often, and throughout the day, there's many horrible, life-changing events that are recorded. We need to look at ourselves and see how we respond to these events, to what's going on around us. It tells us a lot about our spiritual condition and what's going on in our lives. But the news can be very overwhelming. It can be exhausting. There's so much bad news, so many things that are very frightening, events that many people just want to tune them out completely. It's really difficult to watch and to hear the news, because it's so heart-wrenching. It's so difficult to get along with. But there's a lot of people who don't want to even pay attention to what's going on because it is so difficult to hear, so difficult to deal with. It seems that most of the news that people hear that they want to pay attention to are the things as what's going on with a certain group of celebrities. They sell volumes of information on what's going on in people's lives and what they think is important and what they're wearing. But there's so many problems, so many real problems, so many things that need to be dealt with that seem unsolvable, that people just don't want to pay attention. They put these problems out of their minds. It's like they're asleep. They're not paying attention, not aware of the difficult things and the things that are changing all around us that are going to affect our lives for a long time to come. But we need to watch ourselves. We can't let ourselves grow tired of paying attention to what's going on in the world and in our own lives. There's a parable in Matthew 25 that we've read many times before. The parable in Matthew 25 of the 10 virgins, which has many important lessons, a lot of things that we can learn from it. Today we'll look at it again, and we'll draw some more information from that parable. We have five wise and five foolish. The foolish have the word of God, but not a sufficient amount of God's Holy Spirit. They were not using what they had. They weren't putting it to work in their lives. They were not relying and trusting fully on God. Matthew 25, we'll start reading in verse 1, where it says, "The kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps." So 5 of the virgins had made some preparations. They had done some planning. They had put some time and effort in preparing for the wedding. But 5 didn't put in enough preparation. Have we ever thought about how much time and effort we put into our lives in preparing for that wedding? Consider how much time it is that people put into being a professional, to being very good at something that they are interested in. To be proficient at anything takes a lot of time, takes a lot of dedication. That's the same way with our spiritual lives. It takes a lot of time, a lot of dedication, a lot of effort into growing spiritually so that we're ready for the time when Jesus Christ calls us to that wedding. We need to be growing, changing, and overcoming, being very skillful in God's word and in his ways. Verse 5, it continues on and said, "But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept." So we see here that the foolish had fallen asleep, and the wise fell asleep. We all get tired. We all fall asleep, just as the 10 virgins did. When the call went out at midnight, the time of preparation was over for them. There's no time to quickly change, to quickly overcome, to quickly make those corrections that we know we need to make in our lives. Now, this parable is not referring to physically falling asleep, but to doing so spiritually. When we fall asleep, what are we paying attention to? Nothing. If we are in a sound sleep, we're not aware of what's going on around us. We're not aware of the passing of time. We're not aware of our spiritual condition or anything else. When we're awake, we take care of all those things that need to be taken care of. We go to school, we go to work, we take care of our homes, our relationships, our families, our responsibilities. We work on our spiritual condition. But when we fall asleep, we don't do these things. We have to use the time that we have to fill our lamps with oil, to fill our lives with God's Holy Spirit. Both sets of virgins, the wise and the foolish, all had the same opportunities. They had all been preparing, but the unwise ones didn't make full use of that time they had been given. Our preparations need to be focused on what's most important in our lives, having abundance of oil in our lamps, having God's Spirit in reserve. The rest of the parable continues on, and we'll read verses 6 through 12 here. It says, "But at midnight a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him.' Then all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came out, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you.'" Now, this is something that none of us want to hear. The God saying, "I don't know you." We need to use the time we are given to grow in faith, in patience, in wisdom, to seek to be filled with God's Holy Spirit, to gather it in abundance so that we have enough oil to make it through the night, through those times of trials and troubles and difficulties and problems that come up in our lives and the days that are coming up ahead in this world. We can't wait until the last minute and think we can quickly overcome and change our lives. It takes time to build a relationship with God. It takes time in our lives to change. It has to be the focus of our lives. It has to be how we spend our time. Now, verse 13 is a summation of this parable. How does Jesus sum up this parable? What is the point of this parable? Verse 13 says, "Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Jesus used this parable to get across to us how important it is for each of us to watch. But what is it we're to watch for? The title of today's sermon is, "What Does It Mean to Watch?" What does it mean to watch? What is it that's so important that Jesus Christ took this parable and many others to explain to us the importance of watching? When we're commanded to watch in the New Testament, It's usually the translation of one of two Greek words, Gregorio or Agrupianio, which have similar meanings, to stay awake and to be sleepless. Depending on where they are used, they can mean to be vigilant and on guard, fully awake, aware, alert, and intently focused. In our lives, we can't afford to fall asleep. We need to be awake and aware of what's going on around us. We need to be on guard spiritually, alert and focused to what's going on in our lives. Luke 21 and 36 is another often used scripture. It's probably the first one that comes in mind when you say the word watch. But Luke 21, 36, let's see what it has there to say about watching. It says, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, some think this is a directive for us to scour the world news and to tie it with prophecy. But is that really what this verse is telling us? While paying attention to the trends and events of the world around us can have many benefits, the term watch that is so important for us to understand here has nothing to do with watching the news and keeping up with all the latest world trends. In fact, sometimes the news can become a stumbling block for us, a distraction for what's really important in our lives. Once again, here in verse 36, it says to watch, therefore. This is a statement that summarizes the preceding verses. So understand verse 36, we need to back up. Back up a couple of verses. Let's go back to verse 34. Verse 34 says, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life. And that day come upon you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare to all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. And then it says, watch therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass. The message that Jesus Christ gave is a message to us, to the church, at the end time. It is not one to watch world events that we know when he will return. Instead, the instruction is there for us to watch ourselves. He's talking about being vigilant about our spiritual condition. We need to pay attention to what's going on in our hearts and our minds. We need to pay attention to our attitudes and reactions to what's going on around us. We're to be spiritually awake every day of our lives. There's a great danger in going to sleep spiritually, to not watching ourselves. We tend then to grow self-absorbed. We're self-centered. The material and the physical concerns can distract us from what's truly important, of putting God's Spirit to work in our lives, in having and growing a deep, close, personal relationship with our Father. Life and the everyday responsibilities that we face can overwhelm us. We can think we don't have time for prayer, for study, or that we're not in the mood, that we don't have, we just often seem we think we don't have the time. We can convince ourselves that we're too tired. All of these can lead us to letting down, to the point where we don't have any spare oil. And we could find ourselves spiritually unprepared for what's going on around us. Not ready for the wedding. We need to be humble, pliable, teachable, so God can form us and shape us in His image with His character. In verse 36, you will notice that along with watch, we have the instruction to pray always. You go through these verses, you'll find that many times that watching and prayer are tied together. Prayer is a necessary tool of a Christian, a tool that allows us to be in constant contact with God so that we can bring every thought, every desire, every action into captivity under God's control. We're encouraged to use this tool for every need in every part of our lives. Watching and praying go hand in hand. If we're sleeping, we're not praying. We're not studying. We're not applying these things that we're learning. In Ephesians 6 and verse 18, makes a connection once again with prayer and watching. This is in the section right after the instruction to put on the whole armor of God. This armor comes from God, from relying on God. We need to be close to God. We need to be praying. Ephesians 6, and we'll back up and we'll start in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always, with all power and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. This is clearly referring to our need to be spiritually prepared for the trials and the tests that are ahead of us, the things that come up in life that catch us off guard and can take our mind off of what's really important. We're involved in a great war, a spiritual war. We need spiritual weapons to fight that battle. If we find that we're losing a lot of battles in our lives, maybe we're using the wrong weapons. We need to look at what we're using, what we're relying on. Are we relying on ourselves, or are we relying on God and on his strength and in his might? Let's look next at 1 Thessalonians 5. At Paul's instructions, see if we can further understand what it means to watch. 1 Thessalonians 5, we'll start in verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. No one knows the day nor the hour. It will come when God is ready. It will come suddenly. We don't know how much time we have. It could be over for us tomorrow. We just don't know that. We always have to be prepared spiritually for whatever comes our way. Verse 4 says, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. You are not of the night nor the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. Sober here needs to be self-controlled. Once again, we're instructed to watch, to be vigilant about how we're doing spiritually. We need to be on guard against being spiritually drowsy, to falling asleep. We need to be guarding against deception. We can't let the declining moral standards of our society drag us down along with it. The measure of what is right and wrong, what's good and evil, change in our society around us continually. It can be something that we can't allow to pull us in. We can't let our standards slip. God sets the standards, and God's standards don't change. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. God's laws, God's commandments need to be the same standards and commands that we have in our lives. It's what we base our morals on, what we base our beliefs on. We have to be alert to the influences of this world, to the appeal, the appearance of false fun, and be self-disciplined to choose the things that God wants us to do. This is not an easy task. We have to push ourselves to put the right spiritual priorities ahead of everything else. Our spiritual health is very much influenced to us remaining awake, to being alert, and to being self-controlled, using God's power, using His Spirit to make changes in our lives and to grow. If we sleep, we're not properly using the resources that God has given us for us to battle, to conquer sin, to overcome. We're not being vigilant. We're not using our time wisely. Verse 8 says, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation." Again, we're told to use that armor of God, to be self-controlled. It takes practice. It takes continually working on it. It takes taking God's Spirit and actually putting it to work in our lives. To have faith, something, again, that's developed over time. We have to use it, put it to practice. We need that close relationship with God. To have true love, this is something that takes a great deal of time and help from the Father. To put ourselves aside, to love others, to love God, to love His way of life. It takes that Spirit that comes from God. It takes His power. Verse 9 goes, "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing." All these things take time. They take effort. They take God's help. These aren't things that we can develop quickly at the last minute. Why we need to be working on seeking God's help, seeking His strength, being continual in prayer, being on watch for what's going on in our lives, to make sure that we're putting on God's character, that we're becoming a reflection of Jesus Christ. We need to be using that armor that God has given us. 1 Thessalonians 5 continues on with a lot of instruction for us on how to watch. Read just a few other verses. Verse 16 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Verse 19, "Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies, test all things, hold fast to what is good, abstain from every form of evil." Incredible instructions for us on how to watch in our lives. In Luke 12, there's a good illustration of what God expects of us, how we are to be watching, how we are to be prepared. Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 35, "Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, that they may open to him immediately. Always being prepared, always being ready. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them, so blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. Jesus Christ here says that there is a blessing on those who are watching at his return. It's not that they're just sitting around watching the news, but this is active. They have to be doing something. They're growing, they're changing, they're overcoming, they're looking at their lives. This is a command for us to be ready, always ready in our lives. In verse 38, it talks about the second watch, the third watch. It doesn't matter what time of day. If he comes early, if he comes late, no matter when it is, we need to be maintaining the house. We need to have things in order, ready and prepared for his return. Jesus repeatedly said that no one knows when he'll return. Our focus must be on always being ready. We have to be alert and awake to do this. We can't be sleeping. That instruction that Jesus Christ gave in Luke 12 continues in verse 42. But the focus changes to those who have been given authority. And the Lord said in verse 42, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give him their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming,' and begins to beat the male and the female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of the servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, an hour when he's not aware, and will cut him in two and appoint his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself and do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes." As time goes by, we have a tendency to let down, to go to sleep, if you will, to not be careful to analyze our lives and our actions and our decisions. We can fall asleep, but we have to remain vigilant. What's really dominating our time? What's dominating our thoughts? To watch means to be properly using our minds. God has given us the ability to study, to learn, to observe, and to think. And to us, the added blessing of being able to know him and have a relationship with him. To understand his plan for all mankind, for all creation. Our lives are made up of time. So what do we do with the time that we've been given? We can have a tendency to be lazy, often seeking just to be entertained, but we can't afford to waste the time we've been given. Reading is a rare thing today. We rely much more on pictures, the TV and the internet era. But we learn much more and learn deeper when we read. God wants us to zealously read, to study, to think, to meditate on his word. The Bible should be the basis to accurately perceive all other information that we take in. It allows us to understand what's going on in the world today and where are these results of all the decisions and choices we make. The world and its ways are completely backwards to God and his ways. We're continually warned not to be deceived. We need to be alert and to measure what we're told with God's word. It needs to be the basis of everything that we hold to be truth. Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21 all discuss the importance of being watchful. We'll just go to Mark 13, look at a few verses here. It's important enough that Jesus Christ spent considerable time discussing it. Went over it in three of the Gospels. Mark 13, in verse 32, says, "But of the day and the hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." Only the Father knows when Jesus Christ will return. Not even Christ knows. So why do some people think that they can predict when he's going to return? We just don't know when it's going to be. That's why it's so important for us to be watching, to be putting God's Spirit to work in our lives. Verse 33 says, "Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is." We're supposed to take heed. We're supposed to pay attention. We don't know when. We always have to be prepared, always alert, always awake, taking care of our spiritual health, taking care of what's going on in our hearts and minds. We need to be working to change our character, to following that example that Jesus Christ set. Verse 34 says, "It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping." In this parable, Jesus Christ makes it very clear that we are expected to watch, to be diligent, to be alert, focused and aware of how we're doing in our lives and how we're building a relationship with God. We need to put our attention, our focus on prayer, on study, on becoming faithful, on filling ourselves with God's Spirit, asking God continually for that Spirit and that help, watching world events and paying attention to what's going on around us is important. They have an impact on our thoughts. It can even help motivate us and push us to change our lives. But our main focus needs to continually be on watching our spiritual condition, on examining what's really important, our relationship with our Creator. Verse 37 says, "And what I say to you, I say to all, watch." Excuse me. Watch implies that it's something that we can't just do when we feel like it or when it's convenient. This is something we must be doing all the time. It must be the way we are. It's how we deal with every thought, every action, every situation in our lives. We need to seek to be filled with God's Spirit and avoid falling asleep spiritually. We must continually be watching our spiritual health, making sure that we're close to God. Paul gives us instructions as he closes 1 Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 16. Instructions on how to live our lives. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 says, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong." Grass pollen's getting to me. So start over in verse 13. "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love." The first step is to watch. That ongoing self-examination, continuing in our lives. It's continual. It's active. It's how we prepare for the unexpected. It's how we prepare for being called to the wedding at whatever time it is, for that thief in the night. Let's go to Revelation 16. One more verse in Revelation 16. Jesus Christ gives us a warning that he will come when he's not expected. And he gives us a blessing on those who are watching. We always need to be awake. We must make sure that our lamps are full of oil and that we even have extra oil on hand, an extra vessel with that oil, with that Spirit of God. In Revelation 16, verse 15, "Behold, I'm coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." We need to be diligent and fully always prepared, wide awake. We need God's Holy Spirit, and we need to put that Spirit to work in our lives. We need to watch.